Well, greetings everyone, and I'd like to welcome all of you here, all of you who are listening in from the United States, Canada, Great Britain, I probably miss some Australia, some of the German-speaking areas have already told me they're listening in too, some already have employed volunteer translators to hear what I have to say, so let's see how that goes. And I want to thank you, first of all, for your continued prayers for both the health of my wife and myself. I think I'm getting slowly a little bit better, but would like to get better sooner than later. Again, the coughing is still the problem, the main problem. So let's keep praying that this works out today without interruption. I'd like to start with the update number 957. And Mr. Harris put together some comments which we had received. I'd like to add a few more comments of what we have received since the update was published and since a Standing Watch program was also published. Here's one person, actually a couple writing, we just watched the latest Standing Watch. It's great to see you back in the cell. Now that's debatable. And speaking as powerfully as ever, that's also very debatable. Trying my best. Goes on to say a great but in some ways saddening message, as some conservatives have already been arrested. It is indeed a divided country. There's no hope of unity until the setting up of God's kingdom. Here's another one. I saw Mr. Link, he has lost weight. Yes. He hasn't, he, but he's so good to have him back. Again, he has been greatly missed, I'm sure, by all of us. Well, thanks very much. I miss talking, frankly. It's something which I wasn't really used to not doing. My wife said this morning to me, when I was talking to her in the car, don't talk too much, otherwise you're going to lose your voice when you speak. But you see, it's a challenge for me not speaking. Anyway, I also have a few from Germany. I'd like to briefly give you a translation of it. Here's somebody writing, I don't know who that person is, but he says, I'd like to say that I'm praying for your recovery, total recovery and God's blessing. And thanks for the brave and, as always, interesting sermon which you have just given. That's a German sermon we are talking about, which is, you know, broadcast, or which they listen to this the Sabbath, and which I intend to also give here once I get to the point. Here's another one. That's actually from Switzerland. And again, this person I don't even know. It says, I have been listening Sabbath for Sabbath to all the sermons from the Church of the Eternal God, and I'm reading all the articles, including the World News, which is current events. And then this person writes, thank you very much for your accompaniment, your exemplary faithfulness, and giving all of us courage in this truly troublesome time. Now, there's another one, because we're not always getting positive emails. Sometimes they are quite of negative and critical. So I will get back to that in a moment. And right now I'd like to go back to the work section. We do have a new Standing Watch program out titled, Will President Biden Unify the Country? Now, you can read the summary for yourself, but of course the answer should be self-explanatory. The answer is no, he will not. And of course this will have all kinds of repercussions. We have this German sermon which the German president listened to today, Does Satan Know About His Future, in English. And then the sermonette from Tahir Coban from last week was posted. And then, of course, the address I gave last week on freedom of speech under attack was posted as well. And then we have the split sermons by Kalen Mitchell titled Ready for What's Coming, and by Michael Link titled Suffer for Salvation. They were posted as well. And so if you missed some of that, you have always a chance to get back and to listen to those and to watch them. In Germany, for instance, many actually are watching the sermon already when it's posted, which is basically on Thursday, and then they're watching it again on the Sabbath. And that's what they want to do. And they asked me, I said, all right. I said, you're sure? As long as you're watching it on the Sabbath. If you want to watch it before and after, that's totally up to you. The editorial was written by Brian Gale. You ain't seen nothing yet. Of course, you probably are aware that this was a very famous saying, I believe in a musical or some very popular song. I'd like to read a few excerpts from what he wrote. Wherever you look around the world, there seems to be insurmountable problems, and no country seems to be immune from them. But wait, this is just the beginning. The great tribulation and the day of the Lord are now surely just over the horizon, and when it's God's time for those things to happen, they will. It will be the only way to get man's attention. With many panicking at the current state of affairs, what the future holds will be much, much worse. Only our continual obedience to God's way will keep us from the suffering that the world will have to endure. Then he says, who knows? There could still be a short breathing space after the current crisis has been dealt with before further devastating events happen to an unrepentant human race. This breathing space is something I kind of address also in the Standing Watch program to an extent, but certain biblical prophecies got to be fulfilled, which will not be fulfilled under President Biden, but other prophecies under him might very well be fulfilled. So we'll have to watch, and we have to keep these things in mind. Current events. Before I go into the current events, I'd like to quickly talk about the Q&A. Now, this is part three of a series Mr. Brian Gale wrote, Hyperboles in the Bible. Well, before I got more sophisticated with my understanding of the English language, I also mispronounce other words. It's not hyperboles, it's hyperbole. And so there are further examples which he is giving. One from Matthew 19:24 about the camel going through the eye of the needle. Now, of course, we know that this is hyperbole. It's something which is not real. There was never a tower with, eye of a needle. No, it was something Christ was talking about, that this was impossible to accomplish. It also shows, as we pointed out in the sermon, the humor of God. I mean, this is kind of a humorous parallel, a humorous concept which Christ is talking about here. I specifically felt that Mr. Gale really handled Luke 10 verse 40 very well, which says, carry neither money bag, knapsack, nor sandals, and greet no one along the road. This is when the disciples were sent out. See, what Christ is really talking about here is being explained in the Q&A. And also another one, which I think we want to focus on, is John 12:19, where it says, the Pharisees therefore said among themselves, you see that you are accomplishing nothing. Look, the world has gone after him. He points out, of course, that the world, the entire world, couldn't have gone after him because, for instance, in the United States of America, the country which is known today as a country of the United States of America, or Russia or China, they wouldn't have heard anything about Christ at the time. But you see, it's hyperbole with the point of trying to get a thought across. And that is important for us today because when it talks about the gospel has to be preached in all the world as a witness. Some have a totally wrong concept of as to what that means. And we've talked about that in a sermon also in our Q&As. How do you understand that? Do you understand that the gospel has to go to every single country? Does it have to go to every single person in a particular country? Of course not. We read in the book of Isaiah that people will later hear about Christ after he came back. They had never even heard about him before. Now, you have to get all of this in context. Now, insofar as current events are concerned, I'd like to now summarize what we have been addressing. It says we begin with some strong voices cautioning against the second impeachment of Donald Trump and predicting the possible destruction of the GOP and further disunity within the United States. We address the questionable outcome of the first impeachment due to alleged incompetent or corrupt conduct by former leaders of the FBI, Further attempts by big tech, left-wing politicians, and the mass media to silence those who have opposing viewpoints. In fact, CNN is trying to silence Newsmax, in case you haven't heard that yet. And then we are also talking about a serious warning against attempts to persecute Christians in the United States. We also address the relationship between the United States and the EU, which cannot be expected to be repaired under Biden. And we talk about North Korea, and we talk about Russia's persecution of Putin's opponents. And you might have heard about this today again, as demonstrators have been arrested left and right and center. And that's what Russia is doing. Now, that's where we have to be very careful in the United States, that we don't walk the same wrong path. But also, we are saying in here that we are talking about the horrible news that Germany is erecting detention camps for those opposing governmental measures pertaining to the coronavirus. And we speak about the election of Armin Laschet, as Angela Merkel's successor, as party chief, but not as chancellor. In that regard, I'd like to go to our articles and read a little bit from them, insofar as Germany is concerned, because things are not going well over there at all. In fact, now, we just heard this morning that one of our members got challenged by a neighbor because allegedly she had too many people in the house. And the neighbor looked through the window to see who was all there and then threatened that she would call the police. That's how bad it has gotten. Here's an article by The Sun, dated January 18. Germany's worst COVID rule breakers will be held in detention camps under new proposals being drawn up by a number of state governments. The move forms part of the country's efforts to stop the spread of the more contagious mutant strain of the virus detected in the UK last month. In the eastern state of Saxony, that's interesting, this is all part of eastern Germany, where the Russians ruled before, of course, you had the unification of eastern and western Germany. In the eastern state of Saxony, people who ignore lockdown measures will be held in a cordoned off part of a refugee camp being built next week. State authorities have said the center will only be used for those who repeatedly breach self-isolation requirements. A similar scheme will be used in neighboring Brandenburg, another East German state, while in northern Schleswig-Holstein, now that's of course a West German state, rule breakers will be held in a part of a juvenile detention center. The southwestern state of Baden-Württemberg, that's where we are registered, will reportedly use rooms in hospitals. The country's regional governments have powers to hold people who flout lockdown requirements under the Disease Protection Act, first passed by the federal parliament in March, Die Welt reports. I remember when it was passed, and of course it was said, yeah, but it's not going to be abused in any way. Here we go. Current lockdown measures are due to expire on January 31, but Angela Merkel said that the country still needs 8 to 10 weeks of hard measures. And sure enough, according to Deutsche Welle, on January 19, Angela Merkel and Germany's 16 state premiers decided to keep the lockdown in place until at least mid-February, even with tougher measures. Now they are required to wear filter masks, such as FFP2 respirators. Religious events in churches, synagogues, and mosques may take place if they follow hygiene rules, but communal singing is not allowed. Contact at private meetings is restricted to just one other person, not living in the same household. Schools are largely closed. Students are taught through distance learning. Now, when it comes to these measures, a lawsuit was filed. The Superior Court decided these measures are unconstitutional, overbearing, but I don't expect that that will hold. It will be appealed, and of course, the measures will be upheld because you have a collaboration between the government and the court system there, as you have it here. So let's not get any false hopes. Of course, all of that makes it very difficult for us in the church to obey God and to obey God's words as to how to conduct church services. But I'd like to go back to the detention camps. First of all, the mass tabloid Bild wrote that we must accept a total lockdown. They talked about Middle Ages, where, you know, the rooms were completely locked. They had wood in front of the windows. You couldn't get in, you couldn't get out. And they said, well, this is Middle Ages, but should we accept something like that? And the answer was yes. Total, complete, utter lockdown. When it comes to the detention camps, as I pointed out in the sermon to the Germans today, that very thought would have been completely impossible to even imagine a year ago, because it brings back memories of the Holocaust. It brings back memories of the concentration camps, that these people now, these governmental agents and rulers, even have the gall to do that. It's just extremely frightening. And it shows you where it's going. And that brings me to the next article I want to talk about, which was published in the Daily Mail, January 16. German Chancellor Angela Merkel's center-right party has elected a new leader to take over ahead of the national elections in September. Now, he was just replacing Merkel as the leader of the party, not as the official candidate as chancellor. That's still coming. But this guy, his name is Armin Laschet, is the governor of North Rhine-Westphalia. He was announced to be the winner at a virtual conference hosted by the Christian Democratic Union Party on Saturday in Berlin. The decision ends a 11-month leadership limbo in Germany's strongest party after outgoing leader Annegret Kramp-Karrenbauer, AKK as she was named, who had failed to impose her authority on the party, announced her resignation. Now, here's the interesting part. CDU members may also have been swayed by Laschet's alliance with Health Minister Jens Spahn, whose efforts to steer Germany through the pandemic have made him a favorite with the public. In fact, he is the most favorite politician in Germany right now, following Angela Merkel. Now, he has not declared his wish to become chancellor, but he has also declared that it won't be necessarily not the case. So we'll have to watch that. It goes on to say, the pair wrote a joint article for Der Spiegel, weakly promising to make the CDU one of the most modern parties in Europe, and stressing their leadership does not mean a one-man show. He also recently gave an interview saying that Europe has to become much more active on the world scene, that we can't leave it to the United States, Russia, China, or other countries. Going back to Laschet. Laschet was born in Aachen, the city in western Germany near the border with Belgium and the Netherlands. He is a great fan of Charlemagne, Charles the Great, the king of the Franks, credited with uniting Europe, whose empire was based in Aachen. And of course, you probably read about Charlemagne. He ruled with an iron hand, an iron fist. He had these baptisms of the Saxons. In other words, they were forced to either become baptized, becoming Christians, or they were killed, wiped out. That's the way he handled certain things. It goes on to say here that Laschet's family has even claimed that they are direct descendants of Charlemagne. And Laschet is a Catholic and also a self-described passionate European. Now, why is all of that interesting and important for us? Well, because God's church has been having ongoing problems, especially and mainly in Laschet's North Rhine-Westphalia, with the state government refusing to excuse our children from school attendance to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. We have three cases pending. It looks like they will be fined for having taken the kids to the Feast of Tabernacles. And then, again, what's going to happen next year, or this year for that matter? See, this is the kind of leadership which we are seeing in Germany already. It's not going to get any better. It's going, as Mr. Brian Gehr said in the editorial, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to get much worse. It's interesting to me, and I pointed it out in the sermon to the Germans today as well. When it comes to Christmas, when it comes to Easter, when it comes to Halloween, when it comes to Carnival. Oh, they're having great efforts to make sure that the kids can take those days, keep those days, that they can take off from school during holidays. When it comes to God's holy days, it's nothing but opposition, nothing but persecution of those who are willing to keep those days. And guess where that's coming from? Could it have anything to do with the fact that Satan is the ruler of this world and that he is using those whom he can use to persecute true Christians and those who want to keep God's commandments? Something to ponder. But as I said earlier, we're not always getting good memos. Sometimes we're getting very critical ones. I got one from Germany where the guy complained not just about us, about every single evangelist and minister and pastor who have been saying that Trump would be reelected. And of course he wasn't reelected. And so his conclusion was, you have no credibility, none of you, go away from us, we don't need to listen to you anymore. At the same time he complained that he wasn't healed of his sicknesses. I thought, well, that's rather an interesting parallel. But here's one we got from a guy, didn't even have the courtesy to identify himself, just gives me his first name, which means nothing to me. That's what he wrote. Hi, sir. I assume you will be doing a program to apologize about Trump. You were very wrong. You're only human, but an apology wouldn't be a bad thing. Thanks. Well, I have news for these people. I had already been preparing a sermon about the whole situation with Trump when coronavirus struck me down. Now, this one might not have been a bad thing because in the meantime, further developments occurred. And so I like to wait a little bit to see what's happening to that second impeachment circus. I cannot see that Trump is going to be convicted, but stranger things have happened. So let's just wait and see what's going to come out of it. As you probably heard, Pelosi will send over the articles to the Senate on Monday. Originally, the trial was supposed to start on Tuesday, but now Schumer and the minority leader of the Republican Party made an agreement that it won't start until February 8 or 9. And so until this time, both sides have the opportunity to prepare for it. And then you have a trial. You have a trial regarding a person who's no longer even in the office of president. This has never happened before. There were some cases where senators were tried, never a president. And even when it came to the senators, I believe all of that was dismissed or even the senators were acquitted. So that's a constitutional question. Dershowitz said that, you know, that's completely, totally unconstitutional. It's a joke, it's a hoax. But others, of course, the Democrats want to push through. And they would need 17 Republicans who would also have to support them in order to convict Trump. Now, what's all behind it? Well, the whole idea is like once he is convicted, there's going to be another vote in which he will be prevented from taking any office in government anymore. And of course, especially, this would refer to the 2024 election. So we'll see how that develops. I am pretty sure I know the answer. But I want to wait, and then I am preparing, well, an updated sermon, let's say, because I haven't given the original one yet anyway, where I will explain from the Bible what's really going on. People have all kinds of ideas, you know, oh, well, you know, from a human standpoint, this is what's happening, this is what happened, well, that's why you were wrong, and so on. Let's just wait and see what the Bible has to say about this. And also historical examples, which some people seem to completely and totally overlook. Now, I got to be careful with that sermon because I will have to say a few things which YouTube wants to ban. So we'll see how I'm going to present that. But in any event, that's the plan. And before we listen to the sermon today, which is going to be given by Mr. Messier, we'll have another hymn. But before we have the hymn, let me just say this. So Mr. Messier told me that he will have his eye appointment on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday. And then his treatments regarding chemo will start on Wednesday. and they will go right until February 24. He says, I will be coming home the first 3 days, and after that, most of my time, I will be in Kelowna, which is, of course, a city close to where he lives. So please keep Mr. Messier and Mrs. Messier in your prayers. It is going to be an interesting and challenging time for them. So again, would appreciate that we all pray for them as well as for everybody who needs our prayers for health reasons, physical health reasons, spiritual health reasons, whatever health reasons there may be, because we need God's protection. I mean, we are entering a time which is going to be unparalleled in the history of humankind. I mean, do we understand this? The Great Tribulation is not far away from us. The beginning of sorrows have already been there. I mean, there's no doubt about it. So do we really fully understand what this will mean for all of us? We have some persecution now, where we have some cases where our kids can keep the feast, or if they do keep the feast, the parents will be fined. That will be nothing in comparison to what's happening. But it's going to happen. It's going to happen soon. I don't know how soon, but perhaps even still sooner than most of us think. So it's all in God's hands. God will decide. God can delay, and God can also hasten. And we are supposed to hasten the return of Jesus Christ. So let's have